T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour with me, Arcan, and Lou Maloney is brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.
We're back. This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
The offense looked like a solid NFL offense, which is something we haven't been able to say for a better part of the year. And I thought there was some creativity to it. For starters, throwing the ball more on first down. And they've been reluctant to do it. Yesterday, 64% of the time on first down, they threw the football. It's a simple thing, but I think it puts them in better situations in terms of down and distance, keeps them ahead of the sticks, because when this team gets behind the sticks, which they were very rarely last night, they just don't seem to have the playmakers and, of course, the protection to do it. Protection was key last night. That was the cleanest pocket that Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi has had the entire season, and you just see the difference in Jones. Throws for a career-high 382 yards, throws for more than one touchdown for our first time in a game this season. His passer rating, if you're into that sort of thing, also his highest of the season. So that was more like the Mac Jones we saw a year ago than the one that we've had to watch this year.
Mike Giardi, NFL Media, is absolutely right. It was like watching a real NFL offense. It's like watching a real NFL game.
Yeah.
Which was actually nice. But does it mean everything was perfect? Arcan, why, even when they score 26 and they look normal, why do they suck in the red zone? 0-for-3 in this game. They already came into this game 31st in the league in the red zone. They go up against a team, by the way, the Minnesota Vikings, that were 32nd defensively in the red zone. The Minnesota Vikings are one of the worst defenses in the red zone in the NFL. The worst. And you still went 0-for-3. That's not flipping the switch, as Mac told us on Monday. Why is that?
I think what you're sort of seeing there is the biggest culprit when it comes to the play calling argument. Like, that's where you see it. You see it in the red zone. I feel like when you have a big open field and, you know, plenty of space to work with, and a guy like Mac, who's not making a ton of throws this year, but who can get the ball out if you give him enough time, you can cross the 50. Like Bill was talking about that a couple of weeks ago. Well, we crossed the 50 all those times. Like, yeah, okay, crossing the 50, baby steps. Now you get into the red zone. Now you got to score when you get there. And I just feel like whatever they're putting together to pick up those yards and sort of get into scoring range, It just disappears. And I know that the field gets shorter, and I know it's harder to, find the needle to thread there, and it's smaller windows and tougher to run, and everything else is tough. It's tough. It's the red zone. I get that. I understand. But it wasn't like this last year. It really wasn't. The red zone offense last year, again, wasn't perfect, but you knew once in a while, probably more often than not, that Mac was going to find Hunter Henry down there, and that you were going to see a touchdown, you were going to see something. You'd see them finish a drive. Now when they finish a drive, it's like astonishing. They finish a drive, I gasp. I say, oh my God, they scored a touchdown. They got in the end zone. They didn't have to settle for a field goal. That's incredible. But again, 0-for-3 in the red zone. You know, I mean, that's something that is not getting any better.
No.
And even on a day where it seemed like the offense was clicking, where it seemed like, you know, a lot of the things that were really haunting this offense weren't there anymore. Mac had time. Guys were getting open. The pass rush wasn't that bad. They were able to fend them off. And still, you get inside that 20, and this team just can't get it done.
No.
And that doesn't matter if the offense is going up against a really good front or not a great one in the Minnesota Vikings. That's not a very good defense there, Lou.
It's the worst red zone defense
sucks,
in the NFL.
And they could not get it done against them, even.
So the two touchdown passes were the 34-yarder in the first quarter to Aguilar. That's the first drive of the game. And then Hunter Henry was 37-yarder, in which a nice catch and run that he had. Nothing inside the red zone. And, you know, it's we as Patriot fans, okay, you've watched championship football. And you know, going up against whether it's Manning and offensively, defensively, got to get seven, got to make them get three. Right. The red zone defense is where the game is won. And I felt like in this game, it almost, you sit there and be like, geez, when the game was over, you're like, I didn't realize they were so putrid in the red zone because I was so happy they scored 26.
Right.
You know, I was so happy that they looked like a normal offense that I haven't even mentally prepared myself of what it really takes to win games like this. And it's almost like they weren't ready to be in games like this. Because early on, if this was a championship caliber football team, if you turn the clock back 10 years ago, you would have went into halftime and said, this ain't good. You know, because you get the first interception from Kirk Cousins. You bring it all the way down to the Minnesota 17-yard line. You're like, all right, here we go. You know, you get an opportunity to go up 14-7. And when you play good football teams, that's what you got to do. And instead, it's Harris for three. And then the reverse. I don't know. Is this one of those things?
That was the worst call of the whole game.
You tell me. Because is that one of those things that, you know, we just destroyed Patricia in the play call because it didn't work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, like, that's why, you know what I mean? Like, somebody will run a reverse from the 15, and it'll work for a touchdown, and they'll call it a genius play call.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they never set anything up for it to work. You know, it's not like they ran that play a couple of times.
Right.
Like stretch run or whatever it is, you know.
Josh used to run plays like that all the
right,
time.
Right, but don't you have to sort of run it a couple times and then do the reverse to catch them because they've already seen it once or twice?
Maybe. You know, that's, I don't know. I mean, I think with a play like that, you would see reverses and then the receiver would throw a pass. You know, like that's something that you saw pretty often when McDaniels was here. He loves stuff like that. And I feel like now they're just sort of dipping their toe into that kind of thing. I mean, that was the first time you saw a reverse where they're, you know, flip a double reverse coming back the other way. And Minnesota, I mean, listen, there weren't a lot of times in that game where I felt like Minnesota knew what was coming and was able to stop it. They knew exactly what was coming there. They got in the red zone, and Minnesota looked like, you know, the Jets and the Colts and all these other teams that was good on defense against the Patriots. But the rest of the game, I mean, you saw it. Mac Jones picked them apart. They had inexperienced guys in the secondary. They had one guy there that only played 8 games, and Tony Dungy said he was like a tremendous cover corner. Remember that?
Right.
That was really funny. It was like, no, not really, actually. That guy's barely played in the NFL before, but go ahead, Tony. But for the most part, I mean, Harrison Smith's a pretty good safety. Other than that, I think that defense kind of blows. And they still were not able to get things done in the red zone.
So the Patriots' offense, I think, has broken us down, you know, and set the bar so low.
Yeah.
That a quick three and out after an interception, you're just sort of happy to kick the field goal and you're up 10-7. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, whatever. I can't ask for too much. And then, you know, in that second quarter, of course, they come down, kick the field goal and tie it up. But then you get a 46-yard punt return from Marcus Jones. He does it again, mm-hmm. right? 46 yards. Again, these are opportunities. Now, this was sort of outside the fringe, whatever, but it was like, I think, a Stevenson run for like 14, and then three plays that kind of went nowhere. You're sitting fourth and one in the 28, and you get another field goal, but you're sitting like, okay, you got the pick from Cousins. Got to be 7. It wasn't fine. Major punt return, you know, field position. You're at midfield to start a drive. Like, that's got to be a 7 spot, right? Fourth and one. Did you have any problem there not going for it? I know some people are like, I don't know, the captain go for it crowd was, and sometimes I'm all for like going for the points, but I didn't have a problem with it. I know some people are bitching about it, but
I was okay with them taking the points.
So. But isn't it sort of like they've broken us down to where we're just happy that at that point they're up 13-10?
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, good. Listen, they're moving the ball. It's like a real football game, but one of them should have been 7.
Yeah. And that was that after the interception or was that the next drive?
That was the next drive.
It was the next drive after that, right? Yeah. Cause they were they 3 and out after the pick? Or was it 4 plays or something? It was something weird.
It was
like
3
that.
And out.
It was 3 and out, yeah.
And then you kicked the field goal.
Yeah, yeah. And then you kicked another field goal. That's right.
And then you got the long punt return. Up. You had one run from Stevenson to create another 1st and 10.
Yep.
Basically on a 37. And then it was 3 and out, kind of. Then the field goal. So, you know, and then the next drive was the end of half. And you sat there, and once again, they've beaten you down so mm-hmm. badly. They've been so bad offensively that you sat there with like 1:30 to go. You were just so happy that they moved the ball down the field to get in field goal position, right. That you would have took that.
Yeah.
And you said, you know what? Whatever.
Hunter Henry, he made a catch and he went down into the field goal range. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's only 16
to 13.
Did he go out of
bounds? No, but let's care. It's all right. We're going. That's
it's good. Only, but it's almost like Bill a lot of times has chosen to sort of let the clock run out because he has the ball in the second half.
Right.
To where, once again, this group of players forgets how to run that like minute and a half drill, 2-minute drill, to the point where Hunter Henry forgets.
Yeah.
that he's got to get out of bounds. That Mac Jones forgets that he should have thrown that ball away with one more timeout. But again, they've beaten you down so bad. I was just so happy that they scored 16 points in the first half.
Yeah.
It was just, it made my day.
To see him lead a touchdown drive to open the game, you know, just that was a big deal. You know, because that's
the first time they scored a touchdown in the first quarter all year.
Right, and think about how sad that is. That's the one you practice all week. That's the one you do the walkthrough. That's the one you rehearse. That's the main one. And they finally, in week 12, are able to turn that into six. Like, that's, you know, like, that's something. Like, that really, I think, encapsulates all of this. And, you know, you watch a team like the Vikings and see the Patriots take that defense apart and just, you know, it's hard to watch that and not think, man, if they could have gotten just a little piece of this in some of these other games that they lost this year, they'd have a much better record. They'd be in better shape. They'd be doing okay because, you know, you don't really have a lot of questions about this defense against certain teams. I have questions about them against the best teams in the league, and we'll get to that when we talk more about the defense because I think they got exposed a little bit here. But haven't we been saying this whole time, man, if the offense could just be a little bit functional.
Yes.
Look at how good, just look how average. Great they'd be.
Just be average. And when Minnesota went down and scored right away, I said, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And then Mac Jones fumbles the snap and he picks it up, throws it deep to Jacoby.
Right.
And you're like, beautiful pass, beautiful catch. Uh-oh, Jacoby's done for the game.
Yeah.
But then after that, it's like two or three plays later, they put up seven. And you're like, wow, okay, we might have a football game here, right? So sort of like the way you know, it was encouraging to see early on, even though you're worried about Jacoby, which we'll get into. You mentioned that defense. I want to dive into that next because we've sort of, over the last 3 or 4 weeks, been praising a defense. Whether they're elite or just good or if they're great or whatever they are, I think that most people have sort of reserved judgment because of looking at the quarterbacks and the offenses that they've played the last 3 weeks. Were they exposed here last night against the Minnesota Vikings? We'll dive into this defense. Get your thoughts on it as well at 617-779-7937. We talk Pats, Vikings, and the defense of the New England Patriots next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
A couple calls, a couple plays, and it's going the other way. But it wasn't our night tonight, but I don't think we're far off, and I don't think, you know, that team you know, kind of handled us. I think it was just a couple calls, a couple plays, a couple this and a couple that, and it could have been a different game. But we didn't make those plays, and we got to go on film and watch them and correct ourselves.
This is Matthew Judon after the game talking about this defense. I want to give you a couple updates here while we're doing our little show here. Linus Olmark actually left this game off the ice. Swayman is now in net, 2-1 Bruins trail about 12 minutes ago in that second period. So if we hear anything, we'll let you know what we hear about Olmark. And the other thing is, I don't know, you're in this World Cup, Arcan?
Nope.
So I'm not. The U.S. and England right now are tied up, 0-0, I believe it's.
A 0-0 draw, yeah, thrilling.
0-0, we're on the 64th minute. A riveting contest where both goalies have made one save each.
Mm.
But I'll tremendous. Say this, the second half here, watching it over my shoulder here, right in front of me, the pitch is tilted. The U.S. is controlling play here against England. So this okay. is a big game for the U.S. It's like that pitch is tilted.
Yeah.
It's my soccer terms.
The pitch, that's the what they play on.
That's
right?
What they play on, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I like it, too, because you go to, like, World Cup and you try to, like, the little app on ESPN, and you're like, okay, what's the bracket? What are the standings? It's called a table. They don't call it standings. They call it a table.
This game's a friendly. Right?
Yeah. What'd you think of Iran beating Wales? Big upset there, too, huh?
I don't even tremendous, know. Yes.
I don't even know.
So there you go. Wales, how are they going to recover from that?
I don't know if they're going to be able to. So the U.S. right now, it's 0-0 against England, who is heavily favored. It's now in the 65th minute, so that's something to, we'll keep an eye on.
I'm getting yelled at on the text line because I didn't put the USA game in my trending. I'll do that from now on, but just in case, there's no score.
Well, there you
no
go.
No one scored.
See, that's why. I'll
tell you if someone scores. How about that?
Yeah, we'll scream and yell if the U.S. go up here 1-0. But as of right now, 0-0, 65th minute. Again, Matthew Judon, rather, talking about this game. What'd you think of the defense?
I thought the defense looked bad. I thought the defense looked like exactly how I feared they'd look against the good offense. I was worried that this defense was kind of like the Vikings offense in that, you know, the Vikings offense puts up great numbers against bad teams, but then they go up against Dallas or they go up against Philly or one of the good teams, the good defenses in the NFC and get shut down, which are the only two games they've lost this year, by the way. 3 points and 7 points, respectively, against those two teams. And I was a little worried that the Patriots defense was like that, too, because you saw Lamar Jackson kill him. You saw Aaron Rodgers beat him. Tua, they weren't bad against Tua, but that was their first game and they still lost. And I just sort of think that we've seen this before. We've seen this every year for the last 3 years running, 4 years running. If you want to go back to the boogeyman, you can make a case that this has become like a yearly rite of passage for this defense where they look great to start the year mm-hmm. through the first 8-9 weeks. And then you get right around here, week 12, 13, whatever it is. And I don't know if it's the competition gets better, if other teams in the league watch film and see weaknesses or what it is. But I think it's more the first thing. Whatever it is, it's every year with these guys. Every year, it seems like they just can't keep up the elite defensive play that they show against bad quarterbacks and bad teams. They play against real teams, they get exposed, and it's happening again this year.
Yeah, and it's almost, especially the last couple, 3 years, really. It's like the first half of the schedule seems soft, and then everybody gets all excited. And then the second half, you start playing better teams that maybe are healthier, that are actually playoff teams, and you get exposed. I guess it's better than going the other way around.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Because if you played the good teams, you get exposed. And like if you flipped it this year, by the end of the year, you'd be like, they're an elite defense. And you know you wouldn't have that argument of, well, they haven't been going up against crap lately. They have right. been exposed the last 3 years. You know, because we sat there, and just like last year, you're like, got to reserve judgment. They are not like, I think they went into this game, the number one defense was a DVOA. And we've got to come up with a better metric.
I know.
Like, I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, we've
DVOA is, all these football stats are so, just one small thing can completely throw them into a, make them completely irrelevant.
Right.
You know, like, I feel like that happens all the time. DVOA, I'm not going to pretend like I understand how they calculate it, but it does get teams that are objectively bad, like in the top five, and you're like, what the hell is the stat?
Well, it's kind of like, it's like if baseball, whatever, but if it was like, if the Red Sox played like, six games against the Norfolk Tide.
Right.
And they were like, they're the number one offense in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a series against the Houston Astros, like a big league team with a staff. And they got, you know, shut out, no hit. You'd say, well, what do you expect? They went up against. But in football, it's like, how they got to the number one defense DVOA because they beat Zach Wilson twice. Yeah.
And Ellinger.
You know, and Ellinger. Yeah. And then the other quarterbacks they beat were Jared Goff. Granted, it was still a good offense at the time. I get it. But uh-huh. still Jared Goff and Jacoby Brissett. And it's like the number one defense in the league. And I went into this game like just excited for the unknown. I like the unknown. And I like to be, you know, see what's going on.
Yeah.
So I saw the offense go up against a defense that isn't as good as those other two teams that they just recently played. And I saw them look like a real offense. Granted, their red zone still sucks. So I was pleasantly surprised with what I saw from the offense. Defensively, it was like, okay, let's see what it looks like. But when the opposing offense comes on the field, you play a team where the opposing quarterback is actually trying to score a touchdown each and every drive. Right?
And they're confident that they can do it.
Yeah, and they got weapons to do it.
Yeah.
But like every time Cousins took the field in that huddle, they're like, all right, let's go get seven. You know, when you play Ellinger and Zach Wilson in the huddle, they're like, all right, let's not turn it over. Whatever we do, don't turn it over.
Yeah.
And the coach is like, hey, in his ear, whatever you do, don't turn it over. We have no problem punting here.
Right.
Like, you know, so you finally went up against a team and you were.
You had a list. We were talking before the show and you had a list of all the quarterbacks the Pats have beaten the last 2 years.
Yeah.
That list is scary. You know, it's scary to sort of look at and think, okay, you know, this is what we got. You know, just this year, the quarterbacks that they've beaten, they're not impressive. It was Wilson twice. It was Ellinger. It was Trubisky and Jacoby Brissett, right?
So this is it.
And Jared Goff. So, give me the last year.
The last 2 years, these are the quarterbacks that the New England Patriots have beaten. Zach Wilson.
Yep.
Mike White, the Jets. Okay? Then you've got Josh Allen in a hurricane.
Right.
Okay, which yep. you got to put that in there, like an absolute
major,
not just somewhat
there,
windy,
yeah. Of course,
not just a little bit of weather, a ridiculous hurricane in which your quarterback beat him throwing was two completions,
three passes,
and you beat him. Jacoby Brissett, Sam Darnold, Sam Ellinger, Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, Baker Mayfield, Davis Mills, Justin Herbert, good win.
Yep.
Good win.
Although Herbert's losing to everybody these days. But yeah.
And Bill obviously has his number. Matt Ryan, without Cordarrelle Patterson, without Calvin Ridley, Mitchell Trubisky, and Ryan Tannehill, without Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, or broken-ass Julio Jones.
Yep.
So, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, obviously the two best quarterbacks in this group, maybe Ryan Tannehill, but again, Tannehill had nobody. Herbert was a good win, and Josh Allen was in a hurricane. That's who you can beat. And it bothers me, it worries me, because going into this part of the season, with seven games remaining, we sat there and said, okay, let's look at the quarterbacks you have to face.
Right.
This guy, Kirk Cousins, might be one of the worst quarterbacks you have to face the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Derek Carr is another one. Let's see if Kyler Murray is healthy. But one of the worst quarterbacks you're going to face the rest of the year just went 30 for 37 for 300 yards, three touchdowns, and actually gave you a pick.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. The Patriots didn't turn it over. They didn't give the Vikings a bunch of great field positions. You know, they had to kick off. They had to punt. They did what they had to do. I know the punts weren't great. Okay, that's fine. But it's not like the Vikings were starting on the 30, you know, and they had these short fields, and that's why they scored all their points. They drove the field. They did it on you over and over again. Until the very end there. I guess not in the very end. The very end, the Patriots got a couple stops. But, like, up until then, they pretty much had free reign on that team. And it seemed like that's the kind of game it was going to be. You're gonna have a shootout here. And for the Patriots defense, they haven't been in a shootout since the Baltimore game, right? Like, that was the last shootout. The Green Bay game was a little bit different because you had to bring, you know, you had the quarterback situation.
Third string quarterback, one drive in, that's chaos.
Yeah, that's chaos, that's crazy, that's fine. But in an actual shootout, like in the Baltimore game, he came up short in the fourth, and they came up short in the fourth quarter again this time, just without the turnovers. It was really, I mean, that was the major difference, but it was still not enough.
Let me go to Larry in New Bedford who wants to talk about the fourth quarter. Go ahead, Larry.
Lou, let me tell you something. Watch Mac Jones in that fourth quarter. When Minnesota started putting seven guys in the box, eight, start bringing pressure, Jones started to fall apart, dropping his eyes, making a bad throw. The biggest gain in that fourth quarter was the Stevenson dump where he got almost 30 yards.
Yep.
Outside of that, just watch Mac Jones in that fourth quarter. He's dropping his eyes because of the pass rush. When teams put seven, eight guys in the box on the Patriots, that quarterback tends to fall apart. And just because his fourth quarter really – was horrible. It was fine for three quarters. But once Minnesota started bringing pressure, and that's going to be the tale of this whole season, once teams decide to bring five, six guys, he tends to fall apart because these receivers aren't good enough to get open. He doesn't have a slot receiver like a Welker or an Edelman. So when pressure done comes, you hit that dump pass, and that slot receiver turns it into a 15-yard game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, it wasn't pretty in the fourth quarter. Thanks, Larry. Listen, I think he was good.
That drive that ended on the downs, I thought was a pretty good drive. That Stevenson play was a nice play. That first
again,
pass to Bourne was a good play.
Dump pass at all Stevenson.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it wasn't like he was out there dropping dimes or anything, but it was a drive, and he led it, and they got to the 30 before he got sacked. And, you know, if that was a three-point game there, they could have kicked a field goal there and tied it up. But then the thing about that is you would be giving the ball back to Minnesota with 2 minutes left. That all happened before the two-minute warning. So, you know, I don't think that necessarily would have made all the difference in the game either. I don't think any of those individual things cost him the game. It was all of them together. And, you know, that's the problem. When you have a lot of mistakes like that, when you have a good game but can't finish, that's going to haunt you, and it did.
And that's why, you know, you talk about Mac, and we both admit that it was probably the best game he had played, you know, but at some point, like, I always talk about, like, having to check off some boxes. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. There's guys, like, you look at a guy like Tony Romo, who came on the scene, everybody's like, oh, my God, I love Romo. And then all of a sudden, after, like, 3 or 4 years in a row, you're like, guy can't play well in the postseason.
Right.
So, Max only got one game in the postseason. The team sucked. He didn't play great.
Yeah, they got
embarrassed. But it's like,
yeah.
There's certain, how about, like, comebacks? You know, Minnesota's up 7. Pat's got the ball. It's like 4:20 to go, and it's like, okay, here we go. And that was the drive where it was right away, 14-yard pass to Bourne, and then Stevenson for 30. And you're like, okay, here we go. Like, I want to see this. At some point, don't you have to see it?
Yeah.
Don't you have to? And I'll get on Trent Brown for chop blocking Danielle Hunter for no apparent reason. It had to be miscommunication. But at some point, doesn't that a box you got to check off before?
Yeah.
I got people tweeting at me and say, oh, doesn't you think he's a top 10, top 15 quarterback? I can guarantee you most top 15 quarterbacks have at least brought their team back for a victory in like the final few minutes of the game. Every single one of them.
The only game Max done that first? In is the Houston game last year. That's his only fourth quarter comeback.
It's the
that's
worst
his only
team in
game winning drive
the last 2 years. So
yeah,
I'll give it to you.
And that's it. That's the only time
he's done
give
it to you. He did that one. But going back to the defense, I think this is kind of more of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most disappointing thing had to be the front seven, correct?
Absolutely.
No pressure whatsoever. Judon disappeared like he did in the second half. Hopefully
yep.
He picks it up against Buffalo. But, you know, other than that stupid penalty he had when, you know, the announcers, Dungy and Garrett, both like, listen, when you get lead the league in 13 sacks, it's okay once in a while to do it.
Oh, where he just ran through it.
He
yeah,
just ran through that. It. But still, third and 12,
mm-hmm.
They did that a couple times. Third and 12, announced a third and 7. Next thing you know, they get the first down.
Yeah. And, you know, Dietrich Wise.
Pass rush,
and,
nothing.
You know, Godchow and all these other guys. Even Uche, I know he had a sack, but then he didn't do anything after that. Like, guys who have been good this year. I thought Wise had been having a breakout year up until his disappearing act before. And I just, you know, like, you want to believe it's something they can continue. You want to believe it's something they can keep up because I think on some level, you know, the coaching's gotten a lot better with the defense. I think Mayo and Steve Belichick are a good little team there, and they draw up good defenses and good sort of blitzes and schemes and stuff. But ultimately, you get to a situation like this one where you have a gauntlet of good offenses and you have to go after a Kirk Cousins and then the next Thursday a weapon like Josh Allen, who, by the way, Buffalo gave him the ball and said, win this game, Josh Allen, and he did.
Yep.
You know, that's what happened in the early game. They handed the ball to their quarterback and said, win this game for us against Detroit, which maybe it shouldn't have come to that, but it did, and he was able to do that. I don't even know if Mac Jones would have been able to do that in the Detroit game. I know he didn't play, but, like, do you trust him to lead a game-winning drive against anybody? Like, is there anyone out there you feel like, give him the ball, he'll win this game?
Christian always jokes. He calls me Polar Express because I got to see to believe. And when it comes to Mac, to your point, I got to see to believe.
Yeah.
And that goes into, like, even just some of the little things that you start worrying about, like what is going through these guys' heads? You know, we talk about the little things, the details, the coaching. I really don't think it would have made a difference at all in that final drive. But can someone tell me what Jacoby Myers was thinking? Like they don't prep for something like this. Like, listen, we're running out of time. Max, first off, throwing it, you know, to Kendrick Bourne, who can't get out of bounds, which killed it.
Yeah.
But then you throw the ball to Jacoby Myers in the middle of the field, and he gives himself up. I'm not saying that, you know, the lateral chaos would have, you know, worked, you know, would have tied the game up. It's just more of like the attention to detail.
It looked like he wanted to go home.
The coaching, just why would you give yourself up in the middle of the field with 2 seconds left in the game with no timeouts?
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that?
I don't know.
Like, who's in his ear?
I wonder if maybe he slipped or, you know, could have been that.
It looked like he just gave himself up.
Yeah.
And that goes to, like, the attention to detail. It's like you got to stay on your feet and start chucking the ball everywhere. Not that mm-hmm. it would have worked. But I'm going to get back to that defense because I was wondering how soon, you know, the broadcast – Dungy and Garrett, we're going to stop saying that what Bill Belichick does best is make you play left-handed. Remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
Justin Jefferson, isn't that the best player on this team?
By far. Might be the best play, my best receiver in the league.
And it's not easy to shut the guy down, as we saw a few weeks ago against Buffalo as well, with the, what he did against them. But it's like, I never would have thought that Justin Jefferson would have had the first half that he had against the New England Patriots, given the history of the New England Patriots defense. They couldn't stop him. They couldn't stop him. That shocked me.
Yeah. And they tried. It's not like they left him out there on an island with Jonathan Jones. He ran through a double team, which was one of the craziest plays I've ever seen. When they showed him on the replay running through that double team and Cousins still getting him the ball, and then there was that other play. Jones was chasing him. He has to slow up to catch it, and McCourty came over and popped him. That was, and he held on to it and was like it was no thing.
McCourty
came over full speed and just cracked Justin Jefferson right as he was landing from catching that ball, and Jefferson shrugged him off like it was no big deal. Like he's special. He's a special player, no question about it. And it's not like the Patriots left some, you know, poor schlub out on an island there with him. They were trying all different stuff. They double teamed him, triple teamed him on that Adam Thielen touchdown. Remember, they had three guys running with Jefferson, and so Thielen was one on one. I mean, that's the type of guy and the type of attention that he commands. And even with that, 9 catches, 139 yards, and a touchdown. Like, what can you do?
Yeah, and we talked about the elite weapons that they had. Now, they did a good job bottling up Dalvin Cook, rather, running the ball. Now, he had a few catches, whatever, but still, for no yards whatsoever, he did nothing. But the three top targets, this is what happens when you don't get pressure on the front from the front seven. Mm. Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, T.J. Hockenson. Now, Jefferson went 9 catches, 139, a touchdown. Those three guys combined for 23 catches on 27 targets. 243 yards and 3 touchdowns. Touchdown each.
Nasty.
Thielen, 9 for 10, 61 yards. Hockenson, 5 catches, 43 yards and a touchdown. The three biggest weapons offensively throwing the ball, 23 for 27, 243 yards and 3 touchdowns. I was just surprised they didn't take Jefferson away. Or, you know, I don't know. I guess maybe he's just such a freak you can't. Maybe, but I don't know. I was just surprised defensively.
Dallas did. Dallas got
there. Yeah, Dallas did.
Shut him right down.
Dallas did.
But there was one other game he had a bad against maybe Detroit, I want to say. I'm not sure why or how. It could have just been an off night. But, you know, most nights he's going to go out there get 100 yards receiving. He had it in the first half of this game. Like, that's the type of game you were getting from him. And I think they did a little bit better job on him in the second half. But still, when he needed a big catch, he got one.
Yeah, he sure did. So overall, the defense, kind of what we thought they were, unfortunately. Just sort of waiting for them to maybe go up against a very good offense, or at least a competent quarterback, a good quarterback, and weapons. They went out there and they gave up, you know, 33 points, obviously one of them being a kickoff return, but we know what happened there. But the New England Patriots lose this game 33-26. They're now sitting there just out of the playoff spot at that 8 seed with that loss, still in the playoff hunt with Buffalo coming up. When we come back, I want to give you a little update on what is going on in Buffalo. And Bill Belichick, apparently, to the broadcast, made a comparison, I think, that made everybody gasp when they heard this. You will hear what that is next.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
WEEI.
WEEI.
New England Sports Original.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
We are in the 87th minute here in the World Cup. Still 0-0. I'm sorry, 0-0.
I swear to God, I'll put it in trending as soon as someone scores a goal.
Well, it's 0-0. I heard Scheim, I think it was this morning, talking about it's like plus 300 on the tie. USA was plus 600. I think he was going to put a bet in on the tie. That'd be huge for USA, you tie England.
Yeah, it'd be big.
That's going to do it. World Cup. Yeah, again, 86th minute, 88th minute now. We'll see if this thing can pull out a tie here or maybe sneak this one out.
You know what they call the line for the bathroom in England?
What's that?
The queue for the loo.
The Q for the Lou?
That's what they call it. They call it the Q for the Lou.
For real?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I do. Ian Rappaport. I don't know if you guys saw the early game or not, but Von Miller, the great rusher, pass rusher for the Buffalo Bills, left that game, was carted off the field. He tweeted this out earlier today. He says, sources, Bills star pass rusher Von Miller did not tear his ACL. There is concern about his lateral meniscus, though, that he's out at least a week or 10 days while he figures it out, now, which means he's going to miss your game, which is nice.
That's great.
He'll have surgery. The question is now or after the season. This is all following the MRI today. Now, he followed it up by tweeting out that Von Miller, he said, once the injury calms down in a week or two, Von Miller doctors and the team will decide what's next. Can he play with a brace and put off surgery, or is that impossible? So apparently he's definitely going to need surgery, you know, either now or at the end of the season. They're trying to figure it out. If it calms down a week or two, if he can finish the year, if he needs surgery. But he will be out against you next Thursday.
And
which
there are other ends out, too. Russo, right? Isn't
huge.
He also out? Like, that's, I mean, really. Like, I think that Buffalo's got a good pass rush anyway. I think Oliver and some of those other guys are pretty good, too. But, you know, and also, they didn't have Von Miller last year, and they handled you pretty easily with in those games. But, I mean, if it's a question between is it better to see or not see Von Miller, you never want to see Von Miller. He's a disruptive four, even now at his age, and he's been very good for them. So, yeah, I'm glad to see that.
That's definitely
for Patriots. That's great.
He'll be out next Thursday night. You get Thursday night football again. It's kind of like a weird week for them, I would imagine. Right, you're like Friday off, you back at it. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you're sort of like back at practice again. Get ready for the, it's not a short week, it's a normal week. You just had your short week. And then you'll have a little bit of time. So we got an interesting week next week with the Buffalo Bills in town. All right, if you listen to this broadcast, as you know, like before all these big games, you know, Monday night, Thursday night football game, they have production meetings where the, you know, the caller, play-by-play, they sit down with Bill Belichick and they go over some things. They ask him questions. As they said, they don't doesn't really build, usually doesn't give you too much. But
right. You remember last year when they were saying he didn't respect Josh Allen? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and the broadcast, they're like, yeah, Bill doesn't think much of this Allen kid. And then, you know, the next 2 games.
He doesn't understand why he's like MVP talk or
next
something.
Next 2 games he didn't punt.
Something like that. Yeah, it was right. It was bad. So he doesn't give up much. But listen to the broadcast talk about his comments about one Ramondre Stevenson.
Ramondre Stevenson, nice run to the 30. 6 yard line. We're talking about Belichick, guys. How effusive was he in praising the running back Stevenson?
It was incredible. I mean, he went on and on and on, and coaches doesn't speak a whole lot in those production meetings, but he probably talked about Ramondre for 15 minutes, and he compared his growth and his development in a short period of time to both Tom Brady and to Lawrence Taylor.
I know. We all kind of glanced at each other, and it was not the ability of the player down the line, the growth, though. So impressive. Stevenson runs to the left. You know, people do games all the time. They talk about the production meetings with Bill Belichick, and I've been in a bunch of them over the years. I'm going to tell you, last night was great listening to the three of you talk football and football history with Belichick. He was enjoying it as much as you guys were.
Well, yeah. He was great and gave us some jewels. And he talked about Stevenson when he said he's one of our most dependable players. That said something to me because that's what he values.
Growth and development compared it to Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, and Lawrence Taylor are going to be the greatest defensive player of all time. What?
There's two ways you can look at this, I think. One is that Bill thinks Ramondre Stevenson is the next Jim Brown. Okay? Like, it's either that.
Holy smokes.
Or he thinks that Ramondre Stevenson was such a mess and such a, you know, raw prospect with no real chance of ever doing anything in the NFL.
Right.
And now he's what he is now, which is, by the way, pretty good. Not great. He's got one game this year where he's over 100 yards. It's not like he's been killing it this year. He's been good in their best running back. He's been better than Harris, who's been banged up. And I think he's been, you know, certainly improving. But, my God, for that to be on the same level of a Tom Brady or a Lawrence Taylor, you're saying that he's come a really long way in 1 year. And I just don't ever think that he was at such a low starting space that you could make that kind of comparison. You know, like, that's not to mention the fact it's Ramondre Stevenson against Tom Brady and Lawrence Taylor, two of the greatest of all time. You know, that's the other part of it that's weird.
Well, like you said, it was like I saw the greatest quarterback of all time up close and personal and saw the development he had. I saw the greatest defensive player up close and personal, saw the growth and development he had. And this kid reminds me of that.
Yeah.
Like you said, was the starting point so low?
Right.
That, you know, the growth is kind of equivalent, I guess, to like where those guys took off to. It blew my mind. But you mentioned it too, Ramondre, you know, even in this game, You know, it wasn't really seven carries, you know, 36 yards. They kind of got away from the running game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he ended up having nine carries, obviously, nine catches for 76 yards. So
he had more yards on that one catch than he had running the whole game. Yeah.
But as far as running the football, and this might be more of a product, I mean, the offensive line was better. That 5-yard average was better. But I was just looking at his last five games when we started discussing this offensive line issues from that loss against Chicago. You know, 64 carries, averaging 3.6 yards a game, a carry rather, only one touchdown.
Mm.
So I think what you've seen from Ramondre kind of speaks to kind of where the offensive line is as well. What about that offensive line? Is that what it takes? Like, no David Andrews, no Isaiah Wynn, and they arguably have the best game that they've had all year long?
I guess so. I think it also helps when you're going against the Vikings front that's not that good. You know, I don't think that they're a scary pass rush, and I don't think their secondary is that great either. So, you know, you had sort of a nice blend there of time to throw and the holes in the secondary for Mac to kind of scan and look at. And I think it's not going to be like that for the rest of the year, maybe against some teams. The Raiders have a bad secondary. I don't think the Bengals secondary is all that good. Like, you have some other teams out there that you could maybe, you know, get some passing yards against, but this was as good of an opportunity as I've seen them play. You know, you have in your mind these games against the Jets and the Colts and these really strong front sevens that when you see a regular one, it's like, oh, yeah, right, okay, so this is what it looks like sometimes. It's not, Mac's not under siege every single play. There's not someone in the backfield in 2 seconds every single play. Like, when that's not the case, you can see him spread his wings a little bit, and that's why he had such a good game.
Yeah, I think I saw a number of, like, I don't know, like a percentage of basically pressure percentage was like 23-24% in this game, which actually I felt like was kind of high. But as I think, I forget who tweeted it out, but you know, the last couple drives is when they got in his face a little bit, right? Yeah. Which I think kind of skewed some of those numbers, because I thought the offensive line did a really nice job. Makes you wonder, like, when Andrews comes back, you know what he does, right? And hopefully he was close in this game, maybe comes back against Buffalo, he's back in that center spot. Isaiah Wynn, on the other hand, I don't know what you do with him.
Yeah.
Is he just depth?
Maybe.
Does he slide back to right tackle?
I wouldn't put him out there. I wouldn't put him out there if they're finally clicking and you put him out there and he gives you another, you know, three penalties or blows another assignment or something. I mean, listen, like, I wasn't as down on the pick when it happened, but, and I was willing to give him a year or two to sort of figure it out, but we're way past the point of that with Isaiah Wynn now, and I don't know what you do with him. I don't know. I break glass in case of emergency with him,
you know,
at this point.
Everybody talks so much about that Cleveland game, like the Max protect. You know, and honestly, when he comes back, I wouldn't mind seeing him go back to that a little bit as well. Like, yeah, we talked before, like, Kajust and Wynn on the right side. You know what I mean? Just to sort of, like, whatever. Just protect Mac Jones as much as you can. Give him a pocket. Give him time, like we saw here in this game, and see what he can do. Maybe it's one less guy going out. Okay, whatever. He still go out there with three wide receivers and make it work. By the way, the USA and England have, the game has ended. It's a tie.
A draw.
A 0-0 draw. No. No, that's like a major upset. Like, doesn't it suck that you tie England and you're like, people are probably running around the streets, like soccer people are all excited?
Soccer.
And now it's like a big win. I mean, the USA is now 0-0-2 in the World Cup. Like,
we did
0-0-2 with Iran on deck. What does that even mean? Does that mean if you tie, you move on? 0-0-3, you move on. 0-0-3, you can tie Iran now?
Absolutely.
You just can't lose to them, right?
No.
What does that even mean? People are excited. It's a +300 bet. I hope Shime hit it.
I didn't know that he was wagering on the World Cup, but if he did, good for him.
He said he was heading up to take the U.S. with the win. It was +6, but a +300 bet on the tie, and he nailed it. 0-0. The U.S. celebrating in the streets. They have tied England. I think the final tally was maybe two saves for the U.S. and one for England, so it was a riveting, exciting game. When
you know,
did they
the
play
worst
Iran?
Part, the worst
Tuesday
part is all those people in the stands couldn't drink a beer while watching this nil-nil draw.
And they can't go out in the streets and drink one now to celebrate.
Can't do anything.
No, they can't. They can't make out. They can't drink.
Right.
They can't do nothing.
What are you
nothing
in for?
At all.
I drink a beer.
Huh? Nothing at all. All right, listen, when we come back again, it's Arcan. He's in. Foray is out. Mego is out. I am here. It's me and Christian Arcan. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us at 4:30 when we come back. We'll hear from Bill Belichick post-game, what he had to say about this game. More Patriots after this.
The Greg Hill Show.
I don't put a ton of the game on Mac Jones yesterday.
Say it again.
I don't put a ton on it.
Thank you.
But I think the biggest question is, can they win games against the teams that they could potentially be seeing in the postseason?
Did you miss something? Listen to the podcast presented by City of Boston Credit Union. Unique.
Weekly Boston on the Odyssey app or at WEEI.com. The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10 on New England Sports Original. WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.